Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Welcome to part two of a four-part program featuring the life and times of Australian singer Marcy Jones. I'm Rob Greaves, and it's a pleasure to host another wonderful story in this ongoing series. Last week, we learned that Marcy developed a love for music at a young age, and with a voice to match her desire to be a professional singer, we find in the early 1960s, she convinces the Melbourne group The Thunderbirds to let her sing with them at the age of 15. Not too many years later, she was singing professionally on the main teen program, The Go Show. This week, her story continues with the story of how she met the Cookie Sisters, a vocal trio, while working in Queensland, and how this led to the formation of the very talented and much-loved Marcy and the Cookies. We also learn how she formed a deep and lasting relationship with iconic singer Normie Rowe, a relationship that would lead to an engagement despite music management's attempts to keep them apart as much as possible. As a result of a national tour supporting the Monkees, her career blossomed, which in turn led to her entertaining Australian conscript and regular troops that had been sent to Vietnam. Pressures of work and touring, especially in the UK, where George Harrison once walked into the recording studio they were working in, saw her engagement to Normie broken off. We pick up now with Marcy talking about the problems female singers faced in what was then a male-dominated workplace.
And the trouble is, if you are a bit better and you start to get too strong, they say, oh, she's got, walls,
yep.
You know, she's probably, and then they put you down.
Yes.
But if it's a bloke, they go, oh, listen to him, he knows what he's doing.
Yes, that divide has always been there.
So we've had to fight, and I still fight for it. Yes. I'll say, no, you're wrong today. I'll say, no, you're wrong. This is how I want it done, and this is how it's going to be. But it's taken me a long time, from 15 and a half to 74 years old, to learn my craft and to be able to say, I know what I'm doing.
Paid your dues.
Too right.
Yes. Now, Marcy the singer both cut her teeth and developed her craft singing with groups like the Thunderbirds and the Raiders.
And Normie Rowe and the Playboys.
And the Playboys. How and when did Marcy and the Cookies come about?
Oh, that wasn't until ages. That was October 1967. So what happened was, from 1960 to about 1964 was the dance period.
Yes.
And then there was the Go Show came in, and with the Go Show came Saturday Date and Bandstand and, oh, I don't know, there were so many shows.
Yeah, right? it all was happening simultaneously along with that tsunami of music coming in from Britain, wasn't it? It all just exploded.
So the 50s was kind of all American stuff.
Yes.
Then when we got up into the middle 60s, it was the English explosion, and it was Cilla Black for me, Dusty Springfield, that sort of thing. And so from that middle 60s with television and things like that came recording. I recorded for Sunshine Records, which was the Ivan Damon label, which was part of Festival Records.
Was that as Marcy?
That was as Marcy Jones.
Right.
So then I was recording as Marcy Jones and touring with Normie Rowe and the Playboys, and then in 1967, I think, had Norm gone to England then? I'm just trying to remember. Ivan separated Norm and I because he didn't want us getting any closer. And, of course, we were boyfriend and girlfriend for quite a few years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I was engaged to Norm.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that was right back. So that's why we're still good friends.
He thought that was bad for business, did he?
He thought it was bad for business for Norm. And the girls kind of hated me. They used to throw tomatoes and eggs, and I used to duck them on stage. Then I started chucking them back because I figured, you're not going to – I've got a splodge of tomato all over my new little blue organza dress, and I was that. I'd had it, but I scraped it off. I walked to the front of the stage, and I saw the girl who threw it, and she copped it. I said, now we can do this all night because now I'm having fun too. Then you'll never get to see Normie Rowe. And they all shut up.
Right.
But, you know, they would have loved to have seen me run off crying.
Yes. Well, of course.
That wasn't going to happen to me.
No. So Ivan's involving himself in your relationship with Normie and yeah. creating separation.
Yeah.
Did that in some way actually help your career then?
No.
No.
It didn't do anything for mine. And I don't know if it did anything for his, really. He was huge. I don't think... Anyway, in the end, Ivan gave up and stopped doing that. But during that period of time, I met the Cookies up in Queensland. We were doing a show called Brisbane Countdown. And I went up to do that, and the girls did the vocal backing for my song, which was an Aretha Franklin song.
Were they already singing together as
yes,
the Cookies, were they?
Yes, they're sisters.
Right.
Margaret's the eldest. Margaret, Beverly and Wendy Cook are all sisters.
Right.
So they were singing together as a trio, always sung together as a trio.
I knew the names, but there were so many duos and trios in those days that took on names, I wasn't aware that they were actually real sisters.
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a few groups around there. There were the Bradley Sisters. They were from Melbourne. There was, there was a group from Adelaide, and their name's gone straight out of my brain. They were four sisters, and they were also very good. But I think because I was so well-known at that time, that having a career on my own and all the television and all the recording, that when I asked the Cookies to join with me, it was very elevated.
They saw that as a chance to, yes, move up.
Well, I don't know what they saw it as a chance, but we met each other.
You obviously clicked.
And we clicked and we got on really, really well. And I said to them, look, I've got some shows up here and some shows in Sydney. How about we join up and do them together and see? Because I like working in a group, in a team effort. And I don't like travelling on my own. I used to get really lonely travelling on my own. So I asked Norm what he thought. He thought that would be a great idea. And so that's how Marcy and the Cookies came apart. We joined up together actually in Brisbane in October 1967. The next year, we did the Monkees tour and a few other things. I took them down to Melbourne.
That would have been a big deal, wouldn't it, in that period of time, even for you to do the Monkees tour, because they were big.
Oh, yeah. We toured all over Australia with the Monkees.
Yeah. Did it leave any lasting memories?
They were really nice guys. I got on well with Davey, because there's Davey Jones and Marcy Jones, and then I got to work later with Tom Jones. All these Welsh people, Jones. But David was really nice, and Mickey. The others were a bit quiet.
Any memorable shows from that?
Yeah. Well, we did Sydney, and there we were, four little girls from Melbourne, our little short skirts. Very cute we were, tell you. Very cute, little short dresses, and I had long hair. And we did great harmonies, and we were damn good. Anyway, I can say that now, I'm an old lady. Anyway, we came out and we did Sydney, and I think it was John... I did radio and television.
Blackman?
No, not Blackie. Anyway. So we're waiting. It's the old Sydney Stadium, you know, which used to revolve around. And we're waiting to go on, and this person goes out and he says, so outside, and I ran into him and I said, hi, Davey. And so he worked these kids up. Hi, Mickey, Peter, you know.
Yep.
Worked them up into a frenzy.
Yes.
Because you see, he's out there getting all this power and having all these girls screaming at him. But before the Monkees come on,
oh no,
we have four girls from Melbourne.
Oh wow.
I stood there and I thought, this could be the end of our career.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We're going to walk out there and die.
They're going to want you just to get off so the monkeys can come on.
Yeah. I was furious.
Oh, that was a terrible thing.
I was furious. And he copped it later. And here they are, Marcy Jones and the Cookies.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Marcy Jones. And Marcy is recollecting some of the stories of her life when she was part of Marcy and the Cookies.
And out we go. Luckily for us, we had a hit at the time in Sydney called I Would If I Could. So all the kids knew it. So out we went. I said to the girls, work those girls. And we were very, very close to the audience. So then we sang our songs and it was good. And then we did I Would If I Could and the whole place sang with us.
Oh, great. So you turned it around. A lot of work, but you turned them around.
Oh, the girls were just, they were great, but we made them feel, you know, let's do it for us girls. We're all in it together. And, you know, we really did. And I got outside and I said, don't you ever do that to anybody ever again.
Mm.
I said, do you realise we could have gone out there and died a million deaths just so you could have all the girls scream? I said, that was a terrible thing to do to us. And he apologised. He just didn't realise. Idiot.
Yeah.
Probably just as well I can't remember his name.
Yes.
Anyway, I do know who it is, but I won't say who it is.
That's a fantastic example of a great moment on stage for you. Mm. Were there any of those moments where it was awful, that things just didn't work?
No.
For whatever reason, not necessarily because of you.
No. I think with the Cookies, it was different. We went out, there was four of us. It wasn't like me going out to face all those girls on my own. There was four of us. The harmonies were great. We sang great together. It was magical when we all started singing together. And the girls with their natural harmonies and my strong lead voice, it just worked.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we did four-part harmony and that just worked as well. So with us, it was one night we were touring with June Pitney and Margaret came out and we did a change of costume in the middle and the girls did something on their own, I did something on my own, so we could do a change of costume. And Margie came out, she had little sequin shorts on, lucky that was shorts, and her heel caught. I said, Margaret Cook, and as she came out, her heel got caught, her bum went down, and she slid all the way to the front of the stage. I went over, helped her up, and she went, da-da!
True performer, yeah.
So, you know, we always enjoyed working together. It was always fun. And the camaraderie, how do you say that?
Yep.
It was always there together, so it was great.
Yeah.
It just worked. And we did a lot of work. We worked together on and off for a long time.
The 60s are generally remembered as a time of great social change, certainly great music change and art and everything else, literature. One of the things that I think history will also remember the 60s for was the Vietnam War. And for all the boys, there was quite a horrific thing in terms of whether or not you were going to be called up.
Mm.
Now, being a girl, there were no conscriptions for girls. But you were involved in your own way, weren't you?
Well, I was engaged to Normie Rowe.
That's right.
And his number came up, number one. And we found out later that there was no number one in all the... Norm and I went down and had a look. There was all the balls that were there and there was no number one. Another friend of ours, Mick Hamilton, is also on the same birthday as Norm. He wasn't called up. No. So there was a... we all know that they made...
Targeted him.
They targeted Norm. Didn't do him any favours by doing that. But with the Vietnam War, we were engaged. I wanted to go over to Vietnam to sing to the troops. Margaret wanted to go, eldest Cookie. The other two didn't want to go. We'd had a friend of theirs had been shot on stage and killed, a little Australian girl, Kathy. It was a guy at the back, an American Sarge, hated his, well, whoever it was down the front. Anyway, she got it. So they were a bit afraid to go. Yes. I really wanted to go. But what we did was... we sang to the Australians, and I always have trouble remembering the name of this place, but it was outside, just outside Vietnam on the border.
So you did go to Vietnam?
We didn't actually go in.
Or you went overseas, though? No.
We went to Malaysia, and right. We were working to the Australians at the camps just before they went to Vietnam. And our... I'm getting older now, I have trouble with names. Our Governor General, who's just been, he was there. What's his name? See, you're as bad as me. Yeah, isn't it awful?
Yes.
Anyway, we all know who we meet. He just left, I think, our Governor General. Peter...
Cosgrove.
He was a young guy there that was doing... Tarandac.
Oh, that was the place?
Tarandac.
Okay.
And he drove us around. He was in charge of the entertainment, so he drove us around Peter Cosgrove. He was only, probably a few years older than us.
Right.
Yeah. So that was really great. And we worked to a lot of Americans. We worked at Clark Air Base and Sangley and Subic naval bases. So we worked to a lot of Vietnam veterans, but only the Australians up between the borders of Tarandac and Vietnam.
Did it have a personal impact upon you?
Do you know, Norm went off to this horrible place, well, horrible war. Vietnam's not a horrible place. And I don't think I really realised what he was doing. You know, even though we knew about the Second World War, I was only a child, I was born at the end of the Second World War, nobody really talked about it. And I should have been petrified for him.
Mm.
And I don't know. I think I thought he'd be looked after.
So maybe it was a case of ignorance was bliss.
Yeah.
That you didn't worry simply because you didn't know what to worry about.
I mean, his mother would have known. She would have been petrified. And today, if it was my son today or my grandson today... I'd be petrified because I know, but I didn't really understand it.
Yes.
And I promised him I would be home when he came home, because people say to me, what happened? How come it didn't work out? But I was in a position in England where we had travelled our 4 months touring of the East, Marcy and the Cookies, to earn enough money for 5 round the world airfares to take us to England with our manager, Gary Spry, and to live for 3 months in England.
Mid to early 70s?
This is 1969.
Oh, okay, that early.
This is 1969.
Right.
I was there from 1969 to 1970, then I came home. But Norm has never quite forgiven me for not being there when he came home. And the position I was put in was, if you leave the group... they'll all starve.
Oh, great.
Well, you know, they won't be able to work.
And these are more than just working people. These are your friends. These are people you live
with.
Yeah,
I don't know who actually. I was told that.
Gary
said, if you leave, the girls won't be able to work, blah, 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 blah. So I felt bad about that, and I felt like I was being torn in between two things. Oh, and I always try to do the right thing, you know, by everybody else. Now I just, if I don't want to do it, I don't do it. Bugger it. So Norm came home. He was really upset that I wasn't there to meet him, and I don't blame him for that. And so his mate took him off to a party, and he met this girl, and, you know,
I think. History.
And I think he was a bit pissed off with me, and bing, bang, bong. Anyway, that was a big mistake. Anyway, I came home a few months later. Norm wanted us to go away and try and get it, see what happens.
Yep.
And I was worried that he'd play off one against the other. I don't think he would have done that now, looking backwards. But at the time, you're young and all the rest of it. And I met my husband-to-be at that stage. He was managing AXA Lambo, Australian Management Booking Organisation, Michael Barnett. And I went out with him for about 12 months, and then I married him, and he's the father of my children.
Do you still remain friends with Normie?
Yes. Norm and I are great mates. Don't like the ex-husband at all.
You don't have to.
Oh, he's horrible. But, no, Norm and I've sort of been there with him through all his fallen love affairs and marriages, and he's sort of been there with me through mine, and...
Mm.
He respects me very much as a mother, and I respect him as a father. He and I would have been fine. We would have had lots of children and fought a lot and loved a lot, but I'm sure he and I would have been just fine. But today, I only spoke to him the other day. We get on the phone, talk about our grandchildren and what they're up to, and he needs his backside slapped and did it. I'm not allowed to do that. You know, so we're still a bit like an old married couple, but very good friends. We're good friends.
Can I just go back a little bit in part of your story, because I think it's something that is worthy of just investigating a little further.
Yeah.
When you and the cookies were headed off to Europe.
Yes.
There were obviously the idea was to for great things to happen.
Sure.
In retrospect, when you look back at that now, why do you think it didn't happen?
Well, I think we needed a gay manager, and I'm quite serious.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the record companies are gay men, and I've got lots of gay men friends. This is not a put-down, but they ran the record companies, from the kids that put the records in the boxes in the basement to the high up in the record companies. And if we'd had a gay manager, I think it would have worked better for us. Because that's just the way it was in England at the time, especially.
Yes.
I think we needed to stay longer. We needed to go to America. And there was a chance of that at one stage.
Listen to older voices. Revisiting through recollections.
I had had enough after 18 months. We were going back doing the working men's clubs, the town halls. We worked with Cliff Richard for 12 months, and that was absolutely fabulous. He's such a lovely man, which opened doors for us in other clubs and places for us to work in England.
Of course.
But it was like starting all over again. And we recorded over there. Some of the tracks we did are still with EMI in their vaults. They're still over there. But George Harrison came into one of our sessions.
Oh, seriously?
Just to pick up his guitar.
Isn't that enough?
And I just, we just looked and I went, oh, I never said a word. People said, what'd you say? I said, nothing. Anyway, he apologised for, we were doing a session. He came in and said, it won't be a minute, girls, just need to get my guitar.
Stay as long as you like.
I know, isn't that funny? So I was really homesick and very depressed, and Norm was home, and I felt dreadful, and I ended up losing my voice. I had almost had a bit of a breakdown.
I was going to say it sounded like a stress.
I was having a real breakdown, and I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to come
Fair
home.
Enough.
And the girls were all English, so they all fitted in there. They loved it being in England. They were all born in Portsmouth. So for them it was like going home. But for me, you know, maybe if things had have been happening really quickly, I didn't have much time to think about it. But it wasn't. We were drudging along doing clubs.
Yes.
Why
yes.
was I doing this?
Yes.
And I wanted to go home. I wanted to see Norman. I wanted to see what would happen. And so I came home.
Tune in next week for the penultimate program, when Marcy talks about her family and how she connected with Murray Robertson of the Thunderbirds that ended up in them becoming life partners. And if that's not enough, learn about her business partnership with Olivia Newton-John. Next week, Marcy Jones on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program, and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.